Thousands of Taliban forces have surrendered to the Northern Alliance this weekend as the alliance continued its advance on Kunduz. NPR's Steve Inskeep has been on the front lines for much of the day. He joins us now from the nearby city of Talokan. Steve, how reliable are these claims that Kunduz is now under Northern Alliance control?
Lisa, I think we'll have to wait until daylight in order to verify that the entire city is under Northern Alliance control. But what I can tell you is that last evening, as the sun actually was getting low in the sky here in the province around Kunduz, Northern Alliance forces finally began an advance, which they had delayed for a couple of weeks as they tried to, in effect, negotiate their way into the city of Kunduz. Tanks and troops moved forward. They skirmished on at least one occasion, according to witnesses, with Taliban forces that were attempting to defend the city of Khanabad, which is a town that's on its way to Kunduz. And they continued on, and they are saying that they have full control of the city now.
We're getting conflicting reports about the number of foreign fighters in Kunduz. What can you tell us about that?
Well, it's interesting. A few weeks ago, Northern Alliance officials were suggesting that there were tens of thousands of foreign fighters that were trapped inside the city of Kunduz. Later on, officials from the Northern Alliance and also from the United States cast doubt on those figures and suggested that perhaps there were 2,000 or 3,000 foreigners who were trapped in the city of Kunduz, and that number has, as far as we know, continued to go down. We know about the 600 foreign fighters who managed to escape Kunduz only to end up in that prison in Mazar-e-Sharif that Lawrence was just referring to, and we know that there are at least reports that some others of these foreign fighters may have attempted to escape Kunduz by airplane. Refugees leaving Kunduz have told us stories over the last week or so about planes landing at particular times late in the evening, early in the morning, in the city of Kunduz, loading up with foreign fighters and flying off again. We've been unable to confirm those reports, but the Northern Alliance is now embracing them and alleging that three of these airplanes full of foreign fighters have gone to Pakistan, which is, of course, the home nation of many of these foreigners. They're Pakistanis. Some of them are Arabs. Some of them are alleged to be Chechens. But in any event, Northern Alliance officials, as they prepared to advance on the city of Kunduz, were essentially saying most of these people may have gotten away, and we're not sure that we're going to find very many of them there after all.
Steve, what do you think is the likely effect on the Taliban of the presumed deaths of these foreign fighters at the prison uprising today in Mazar-e-Sharif?
Well, I have to tell you, Lisa, this is an astonishing story that Lawrence Sheets is telling us for a number of reasons, one of them being that the Taliban fighters, even as they were thrown in jail, were allowed to keep their weapons. In many instances, that is exactly what we've seen. When Taliban soldiers have surrendered elsewhere and come out of Kunduz, they've been allowed to come out with just truckloads full of rocket-propelled grenades and rifles. They have been armed to the teeth as they have rolled out to surrender, and I think that gets at the way that the Northern Alliance is trying to deal with at least some of the Taliban. They have been offering very generous terms to native Afghans who offer to surrender. Now, the additional problem here, though, is, of course, with these foreigners, the Northern Alliance does not want to be anywhere near as generous. I think it is fair to say that the foreigners who were imprisoned in Mazar-e-Sharif faced the possibility, if not the likelihood, of a terrorism trial before an Islamic judge, before Northern Alliance authorities, and faced the possibility even of an execution. And I think it is possible that any other foreigners who were caught in Kunduz or in Kandahar, elsewhere in the country, faced the same thing. So even before we began receiving these reports of some kind of a riot and a great many deaths among prisoners in Mazar-e-Sharif, most of the foreigners who remained in Afghanistan fighting for the Taliban knew that, in effect, they faced a fight for their lives, that if they were captured, they were quite likely to end up dead.
NPR Steve Inskeep in Talokan, Northern Afghanistan. Thank you, Steve.
You're welcome, Lisa.